So last week,
Dan,
yes, thank you very much. You don't want to hear my heartbeat? Last week, somewhere between my printer and here, my notes went away. I've still not found them. They are on the computer, however. So we winged it with the introduction last week. I knew where I wanted to go, and we did that. Today, I'm going to be purposely strapped to my notes a little tighter than I like to normally be. And it's because I don't want to miss anything. What I'd like to get into about the goodness of God is going to be especially for those that might not fully understand what the gospel is yet. And it is for the students among us. And it is for those who are wondering, how can I express this to my friend? So really, it's going to be hitting a lot of needs, I hope, but it is about God's goodness. And I really feel that there is a need this morning to go into a deeper word study on a particular word used here in Romans chapter 3. If you'd like to turn to Romans, we'll get close to the direction, close to the place where we'll be. The particular word that I introduced last week is Christates, from the word Christos. Oh, great. That sounds like really invigorating material there. Christates. I want you to look at chapter 2 of Romans. It's twice in verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his Christates, his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that that the Christates, the kindness of God, leads you to repentance? It's going to start giving you a feel for what this word means. The kindness of God that opens a door for repentance. Go to chapter 11, please, of Romans, verse 22. These are the only other two entries of this word in the book of Romans. And we're not going to pull in the context here. 11:22, behold then the kindness, Christates, and severity of God. Because God will not just poo-poo sin and overlook it. It will be addressed. To those who fell, they died. They died in rebellion against God. That's a little bit of the context. Severity. But to you, God's Christates, kindness. If you continue in his Christates again. Otherwise, you will be cut off. There's an either or that's given here. Go to chapter 3 now with me, please. Verse 12. We read it last week. I talked about it some, but now a little deeper. All description of all humanity in verses 10 down through 18. Verse 12 specifically. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does Christates, not even one. They don't do it because they are not it. From this very word, we see that, believe it or not, the goodness of God. Goodness to a depth that you and I can never, ever be on our own. It is something he is. Paul's first major point in the book of Romans is given here in chapter 3, verse 9, that both Jews and Greeks, all people, are under sin. That's where we've got to start. That's where Paul starts, to get to this Christates of God. That puts all of us, every human being, through all time, in the same category, and that category is entirely different than God. He is good. Christates. A goodness that is moral goodness, integrity, excellence that's all wrapped up into this word. It's his very makeup. It's his very nature. He is good. That puts him in his own category without company. He is alone there, and all else in creation is different. That is described by the word holy. That's what holy means. There is nothing else holy, but our God stands all alone. So in all humanity that ever existed, there is none who does good, only good, always good, because there is none who is good by very nature, but God alone. That is what God is in his very being, and we are not. Those are the two building blocks that I referred to last week that Paul develops his first two major points on. God is good, and in that definition and understanding, we are not. But hang on, don't get mad at me yet. As we shall see, we can be good and do good, but it's good of a very different kind. Very different than the word Christos demands. Romans uses two other Greek words translated into our word good. Okay? And both of those are applied to man at times. The word agathos. Yes, you're looking at Agatha. Yes, her name stems from this Greek word. It's translated good. It's used 21 times in Romans. And the word kalos is used 4 times. The difference between those two words, kalos and agathos, is not yet evident to me. I'm not sure it's really that important to me. We'll get to that in a minute. Our main word for this part of the study is Christos. It's used elsewhere only a few times, and usually in relationship to God and to God working with men. We're going to look at some of those examples. I want to go to the book of Luke, please. Chapter 6 to begin with. Luke chapter 6. Luke uses all three of these words, and I want to just quickly walk through the individual verses. He uses the word, our English word, good, 11 times. And once it's the word kind, as in kindness. Luke 6, 9. Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do agathos? To do good? What does that, what's a basic understanding of the flow of that context? Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? What's he asking?
To do good deeds to help other people.
Okay, something that benefits other people and something that is right. Something that they need. So, is it good, or is it lawful to do good, agathos, on the Sabbath, to save a life or destroy it? Okay. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, remember his admonition, let him who has ears hear. So I say to the one that hears, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Kalos. How is that different than the other one? I don't know. But as I sat around scratching my head, said last week, and I'm going to repeat that, when we translate a word from one language into another, we chance losing a little bit of edge, a little meaning, a little nuance, right? Okay, for instance, we have one general word that we use to describe the white stuff that comes out of the sky in the wintertime. And that word is, you guys are so on it. Sometimes we substitute the word hail or maybe sleet, right? The Eskimos have 27 words to describe it. Huh, how many of those am I going to get? None of them. Snow, I get it. Oh, that's hail, I get it. 27 words because of the difference. Isn't that what you learned in your Eskimo class, Star? I learned from my wife, it's cool. She's got some hidden treasures. So if I learned Greek at my mother's knee, as your kids learn English at yours, I would understand the difference between Agathos and Kalos, but at this point, I don't know, it's snow. It's that, and I'll leave it at that. But just for the fun of it, I want to move a little bit further into Luke 6, verse 33. And if you do good, Agathos, to those who do good, Agathos, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. What do sinners do? Agathos. To others who do Agathos. Good. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good. Agathos again. Do good. Lend. Expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is Christos to ungrateful and evil men. God, who is Christos, this level of goodness, this excellence, looking at the pool of humanity around the globe that has always been, is doing what his excellence is for even the ungrateful and evil. Now, that isn't just set here for an example. Here, follow his example. But I think rather, because he is the one that goes to that extent doing this type of good, this depth of good, this Christotes, it makes way for us to be able to do the Agathos and the Kalos to even our enemies. He makes it possible for us who are all caught up in sin to do what is right because it's right. And it benefits that other person, even the ungrateful and evil man. A little bit more in Luke. Verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Kalos. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, flow into your lap. By your standard of measure, it will be measured unto you. Verse 43, for there is no good tree, kalos, which produces bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree, a bad tree which produces good fruit, or nor, on the other hand, I'm sorry. So kalos again. Verse 45. The good man, Agathos, out of the good treasure, Agathos, of his heart, brings forth what is Agathos. Okay, there is no way I can untangle those differences, but I want you to know that Luke knew all three words, and he used all three on purpose, and Christos is only God, as God deals with sinful man. A few other examples. I brought out one last week. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is Christotes. That is something that by God's grace I can do when I'm told to love one another. Love is this, and he describes it. Patient. Love is kind. Galatians 5, 22. Let's go ahead and look at that. It's got a bit of a list. The fruit of the Spirit. We all know it. We've memorized it this way. Is love, joy, peace, etc. What What's after peace? Love, joy, peace. Oh, you guys, you blew my cover. All right. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, Christotes. The fruit of the Spirit is God in us, working it through us. Fruit, singular, looks like this. Here's the various aspects of it. Kindness is one of those. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians 2, 7. In order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in Christotes toward us in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 32. Admonition, and be Christotes, be kind. 4:32. Be kind to one another. It's translated kind most of the time. It's translated good in Romans 3:12 as applied to us. There is none who does this, because there is none who is that. Just a couple more. Colossians 3:12. Another admonition. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness. There it is again. Something I choose to do, and God has enabled me to do it because God resides in me. That's where Romans is going. I didn't come up with that on my own. I can't do that out of being that. It is God who is. Titus chapter 3, Titus 3, verse 4. Actually, I want to go back to verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. But when the Christotes of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs. And that's where Romans goes, according to the promise. 1 Peter chapter 2 is the last entry. And there are very few other uses of this word in our New Testament. 1 Peter 2 and the third verse. Let's begin at verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the Christotes of the Lord. It's God in who he is, in his very nature and being, relating to mankind, who all of us are sinners. God is good. God is kind. We don't come wired that way. Paul's first major point, we are all sinners. Romans addresses this further. I think it's worthwhile looking at, peeking ahead. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. First major point, we are all sinners, from verse 9. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We're not talking about Christotes by the use of the word, but by the fact that he has now applied it toward us. And here's the result. Sinners, yes, but look at the hope. Verse 24. Look at chapter 5 of Romans. Verse 6. For while we were still helpless. Remember, all are sinners. He has said that. He's going to say it again here in next chapter. And in that position, we were helpless to do anything to get to this point of having a life with God and be justified from our sin. Verse 6 here, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. The wrath of God that comes against all sin. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then it goes on to describe the one Jesus and the justification through him. And then chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Okay, Paul's point one, we're all sinners, but quick on the heels of that is his second major point in the book of Romans. And that is that God has a solution. We are sinners, but God has a solution. God has made up the difference. God has done this, and that's, God willing, if we're here next week, that's what we're going to get into. This takes us right back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. His second major point is the hope that we have, and he started with that in this introduction. 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the gospel includes this fact, I am a sinner. And it includes God is good. And in that goodness, he has provided a way. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It moves us, it enacts us, it does the work that I could not do. I was helpless. That gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That includes all of humanity, to anyone who believes. For in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. I was a sinner without righteousness. And now, as we will see, God willing, next week in chapter 3, his righteousness has been applied to me. In fact, invested in me. Though a sinner with all of the humanity, if it wasn't, then verse 18 of chapter 1 is the only other alternative. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that includes everyone. Let me pause for a breath, open it up for dialogue, and I've got a concluding thought I'd like to bring in. Go ahead, Fred.
It was interesting. I was flipping back and forth as you were talking about good and goodness between the English Bible and Luther's translation. It's interesting, in German there are more words that he employs, but they're not consistent always with the same Greek word. So it seems that he either interprets it as well or is likely also is confused as to how to do that. But one of them is more an attribute of the divine or an attribute of the person. The other is more of an action word.
Okay.
To do good to that direction.
Sure. Thank you very much. I love you bilingual people. It's way cool. Anybody else? Thought or question?
Yeah, I pick up on what Fred was saying, is that it always seems to have the action word do good. It's not sit there and think good. It's to actually do good.
Okay. One of the reasons I wanted to go through this exercise this morning is when you run across this 3:12, there is none who does good. And you say, wait a minute. I got a good neighbor. I did a good thing. In fact, I've got a medal hanging on the wall for my good thing. That's not what we're talking about. There is no one who does good because he is good. It's a different good.
Different standard.
It is. Concluding thought. Some of the people of this world may laugh at us saying we believe in fairy tales. Well, then simply ask them what fairy tale they believe in. And I really mean that. Because everything around me points me to the truth of Paul's first point. Everywhere around is a sinner. Starting with me, Paul's first point. From there, we take the next one by faith, that God has made a solution. We read about it. We experience God to some degree. I still can't see him with my eyes. I can't touch him. I can't measure him. But I've seen evidence of God all around me. What fairy tale do you believe? There's not many options that sound very valid. In fact, I think I'm looking at the only one. We all have to deal with selfishness. We all have to deal with self-centeredness, covetousness, deceit, etc. All of us. All of us have to teach our children not to do those things that they come wired to do. I conclude Paul is right. Pretty basic. I don't need further proof that I'm a sinner. And now God has taken me through the second main point. He has a solution because he's good.